Healthy Alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. My name is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you're listening to WebTalkRadio.net. What Healthy Alternatives is about is the notion of reaching optimum health, optimum wellness. We all want to feel better, live longer, enjoy life even more, and that's what we attempt to bring to you, information, things that you can use in your life. Now, every week I like to start the show by beginning by talking about an issue or concern you should know about because it can have a real impact on you, and this is a biggie. This one relates to Monsanto. Monsanto is the producer of around 90% of the genetically modified seeds that are produced and distributed around the world. GMO seeds are where they've taken and gone into the DNA and they've actually substituted into a plant seed. They may put an insect gene. And they do this to quote unquote give a protection so that they can spray Roundup pesticides on it, not harm the plant, but harm the insects that might attack the plant or the weeds that might choke out the plant's growth. Turns out nowadays we've been developing super weeds that are resistant to this Roundup, and so they've been attempting to make stronger and stronger GMO crops. Most GMO crops have, and first of all, in this country, they're not labeled GMO, that it's in any of our foods, even though about 90% of the consumers want it labeled. In Europe, it is labeled, and GMO is not sold very much because the consumers, when they have a choice and they know about it, don't pick GMO foods. In this country, that's not that way. And to this point, most GMO has been going into animal feed. Well, Monsanto is now moving it up another notch. They're about to be releasing fairly soon GMO sweet corn that's going to go right into the grocery store and into your body. So what they have done is they have modified for the first time a vegetable that you eat directly, and it's unlabeled, so you're not going to know that this is GMO corn. Now, there's been some research that was released previously by the International Journal of Biological Science that found that GMO corn by Monsanto, which is engineered to release these pesticides, tolerate Roundup, actually led to potential organ failure in animals. They also found that in some other research that you can pass on health and infertility problems to the people eating these products. You can even have bacteria that are in your digestive tract pick up these toxins that are in the GMO corn that are supposed to kill the bugs, that they could in effect get into your DNA. And by doing that, you're starting to produce your own toxins in your body. Now, we can't go to the Department of Agriculture because they're in the hands of the manufacturers. Monsanto has a revolving door that they have employees that go over to USDA to regulate them, quote-unquote, and then come back to Monsanto to benefit in the regulations they just passed. What needs to happen is you need to go to your local supermarket and say that you're not going to shop there if they buy GMO corn, sweet corn from Monsanto. You don't want that in there. You want labeling done on the products that you're eating. You've got to insist on that. It's our health. It's our well-being. It's for our kids. You've got to take action. If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you can click on the globe on this page, or you can go to teplitz.com and you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. I also put out a monthly e-newsletter that's health, nutrition, wellness oriented called the Teplitz Report. If you want to know more about that, if you want to sign up, you can go to teplitz.com, T-E-P-L-I-T-Z. Click on the home button, you'll get a drop-down menu, and you can click on a free monthly newsletter. Today, I'm going to be talking to Carla Hannaford. Carla Hannaford is a biologist, she's an author, she's an educator. She has 20-plus years of teaching as a professor of biology. She's been recognized in Who's Who in America. She's received awards from the American Association for the Advancement of Science for outstanding teaching in science. She's written many books, Smart Moves, Why Learning is Not All in Your Head, and Playing in the Unified Field, Raising and Becoming Conscious Creative Human Beings is her most recent. And we're going to be talking to Carl about movement, about your body, about your mind, and how they all interplay. We'll be coming up with Carla in just a few minutes. Now, every week, I also like to talk to you about a healthy breakthrough. This is new information. It's the healthy alternatives that you can use for yourself, your family, and loved ones. What I want to talk about today is something that's quite slippery, and that's oil. Coconut oil. There's been some research done where they had a double-blind study with 40 women, divided them into two groups. One received soybean oil as a dietary supplement. The other received coconut oil. And what they did is they tracked them for a period of time, 12 weeks, and they found that belly fat, which is known as visceral fat, and it's the type of fat that's actually linked to heart disease and diabetes and stroke, that by taking about 30 milligrams, which is 2 tablespoons of the soybean or coconut oil, they got an enormous difference between the two. The coconut group actually was extremely positive. It increased levels of high-density lipoproteins, that's the good cholesterol. It decreased the HDL-LDL ratio, which is what you want to reduce that. It also reduced down waist circumference of abdominal obesity, so you lost inches in your waist. The soybean oil group wound up doing the opposite. They increased total cholesterol, they increased the low-density lipoproteins, that's the bad cholesterol, and it increased the low-density to high-density ratio by decreasing the high-density lipoproteins. So that what we're looking at is getting something that's a lot healthier for you. As a matter of fact, there have been a number of studies of the Pacific Island populations where coconuts can be 30 to 60% of the person's total caloric intake from coconut milk and coconut oil. And what they've shown is that they have nearly non-existent rates of cardiovascular disease. Coconut oil can also be helpful to pregnant women, nursing moms, the elderly. One of the things it appears to be doing, because it's rich in lauric acid, is it converts in your body to monolaurine, which is a compound found in breast milk that actually strengthens a baby's immunity. So what you're doing is you're actually increasing your ability to fight off pathogens such as virus, bacteria, and fungi. So coconut oil might even help as a natural treatment for Alzheimer's disease. You want to look at getting organic coconut oil into your diet. It's a healthy way for you to go, and you may even lose inches around your waist. Before I introduce my guest, Dr. Carla Hannaford, I'd like to pause for this message.
Every one of us is under stress from work, family, the economy, layoffs, the inability to retire. These are the realities today. Even if you're doing okay, we all have friends and relatives experiencing hard times. Hey, just watching the news can make you nervous. Make no mistake, there's nothing benign about stress. It can lead to high blood pressure, digestive problems, difficulty concentrating, and increased risk of disease. That's why Dr. Jerry Teplitz wrote the book Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. He presents easy, effective techniques to reduce stress, eliminate pain, relieve insomnia, and gain an overall sense of well-being. Managing Your Stress is fully illustrated and provides hands-on, proven methods you can use immediately. Dr. Teplitz knows how to cut to the chase. He begins working with you from the very first page of Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. Click on the cover that you see on the WebTalkRadio.net page in front of you and buy it now. It comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee, and it will change your life.
My guest today is Carla Hannaford. Carla has a PhD in biology. She's a neurophysiologist, author, educator. She's been a professor of biology for 20-plus years. She's recognized by Who's Who in America Education. She's received awards from University of Hawaii and the American Association for the Advancement of Science for outstanding teaching in science. She's a distinguished lecturer for the National Association. She's a distinguished lecturer for the National Association of Elementary School Principals. She's been a consultant speaker in over 38 countries. She's consulted to school systems in South Africa, Russia, Scotland. She's quoted in over 1,000 books and journals in their articles on the importance of movement, music, art, and coherence for brain development and function. She's written a number of books. Two of them are Smart Moves, Why Learning is Not All in Your Head. And the other and the latest one is Playing in the Unified Field, Raising and Becoming Conscious Creative Human Beings. Carla, welcome to Healthy Alternatives.
Thank you, Jerry.
And for the sake of transparency, I need to let my listeners know I've known Carla for many, many years, and we've been involved with the area of Brain Gym that we're going to be talking about as part of today's show. So, Carla, it's a double thank you for being on Healthy Alternatives. So I want to start with a question that neurophysiologists, neuroscientists are now saying that if we don't move, we won't need a brain. What do they mean by that?
Well, the whole brain is developed through movement. Every part, in fact, 90% of the brain development occurs through movement, and we wire and rewire our brain throughout our life as we move. So,
and you're talking about physically just walking along and playing and that kind of stuff, that kind of movement you're talking about?
Right. What they found, though, is that when we move, and we move in a coherent cross-lateral way, we actually grow new nerve cells until the day we die. We can grow as many as 6,000 new nerve cells a day in an area of the brain called the hippocampus that has to do with memory. But we're also finding new nerve cells now in the more recent research along the spinal cord and the olfactory lobes. And it's all connected up to movement. So, you know, it used to be that I would go and speak at brain conferences, but that has now changed. The conferences are now called body-mind conferences because the body is the thing that grows the brain.
Now, you talk about the vestibular system and how it relates to the concept of the brain gym movements we're going to talk about in a minute. Listeners may not know what the vestibular system is, so can you explain that first?
Sure, I can. The vestibular system is the vestibule, the entryway into the brain, and it is incorporated, it has to do with the inner ear mechanism, the utricle saccules, and the semicircular canals of the inner ear, and that connects with every muscle in our body, the muscles of our eyes, the muscles of our tongue when we communicate, all the muscles that we move our arms and legs and torsos are connected to this vestibular system.
So you're talking about the entire body is hooked up to this one system.
Right.
Wow.
And
okay.
You know, it has to do with balance. I mean, we think of it as having to do with balance, but how important is it? It's fully developed by the age of 9 weeks, probably earlier. We know that an embryo responds to sound with movement at 23 days after conception. And the very first cranial nerve to develop is the eighth cranial nerve, the vestibulocochlear nerve that has to do, again, with the vestibular system. Something else that's interesting, I think, Jerry, you know this, but with all these children that are having difficulty with learning and adults, physical therapists and occupational therapists start by working with the vestibular system, with balance. Because once we have that balance across the body, then the brain is becomes very active. And we're able to take in new information and learn it and remember it.
So can you explain then what the brain gym movements are and how they then relate to this vestibular system?
Well, every single brain gym movement, all the ones that you have in Switched On Selling, all of those movements are cross-lateral integrated movements. They take balance to do, and they cross the midline of the body. You know, they're actually movements like we used to do, Jerry, when we were young, climbing trees, playing around in monkey bars, twirling, you know, rolling down hills, checking our balance by riding bicycles and walking on fences and, you know, later skiing and skating, all those things that demand a lot of balance and cross-lateral movements. So, you know, brain gym movements are very simple, but they're very elegant because they activate the whole system.
Explain cross-lateral for listeners who may not know what that means.
Okay, cross-lateral is like when we walk. You'll notice that you put your right foot out maybe first and your left arm swings forward. And then your left leg comes out and your right arm swings forward. And you have this cross-lateral movement. This starts with crawling. When babies begin to crawl, they do this. And crawling is extremely important in activating the brain. So where you're crossing the midline of your body, the right hand and the left leg, and then the left hand and the right leg. So those are cross-lateral movements. Another thing that's important is that balance part of it. And we're finding that the slower you do these cross-lateral movements, the more of the brain you're using, because it takes a lot of fine motor movement from the frontal lobe of the brain, the cerebellum, in order to have this balance, the vestibular system activating it. So movements like Tai Chi or Qigong or yoga, where we do it very slowly, activates that whole system. We are in brain gym now, elegantly starting to slow down the movements and really challenge that vestibular system as well as the cross-lateral system.
I remember talking years ago to a fellow from Indonesia, and he said there were two communities that he would go to do this, his brain gym work at. And one community was, it was always kind of flooded, so houses were built on stilts. Mm-hmm. And to keep the kids from falling into the water, they carried babies, the moms carried the babies constantly, and they didn't get to move or play. Other village, the kids were on dry land, and so they would scurry around and play and all that. And what he found is the kids in the who were growing up where they couldn't in the water type environment had tremendous amounts of learning disabilities because they never got to move their body. Is that
right,
the kind of thing you're talking about?
Yes, very, very true. And today, look at it. Our children and adults are not moving as much as we used to. You know, obesity is a big problem.
We move our finger to on smartphones. Does that count enough?
No.
Okay.
You know, our hand is really important. You know, all of the motion, but you need to use the whole hand, not just the thumb or the index finger.
Maybe if we start using our ear to make the thing move. So let's switch a little bit and talk about the heart and the connections there that are to the brain, because I think that's a fascinating thing for our listeners to know about.
It is. It's really interesting. Way back in the 1960s, Dr. Armour from Yale University wrote a long article in Scientific American talking about the fact that he's a neurophysiologist, neuroanatomist, that there are 80% more fibers going from the heart to the brain than the other way around. And he made the astounding statement of, the heart must control the brain. And we said, no, it's just a pump. Well, in the 1970s...
People probably said a lot worse than that.
They did. But in the 1970s and 80s, two researchers discovered that the heart also is a very powerful endocrine gland. It produces two hormones, atrionaturitic factor, which actually controls all of the hormonal function of the brain via the pituitary gland, and it's produced in the heart only, and cardiac androgenergic factor, which controls dopamine and adrenaline function, again, just from the heart. So the heart controls the brain, not the other way around, and we're really looking at this now. Where I live in Hawaii, the East and the West meet right there. And so we look at traditional Chinese medicine. And in traditional Chinese medicine, the heart is extremely important. It's kind of at the center. And the brain's function is to cool the body. It's not very important. The same thing is true in the Ayurvedic traditions. So... You know, we have to just start looking at our heart again in another way.
So the heart is really, what you're saying, is the center of our thinking, in effect.
Mm-hmm. We're really seeing that. It even has a memory. Paul Pearsall, in his book, The Heart's Code, talks about the memory of the heart when they do heart transplants. And they find that people, after the heart transplant, have changed. And they have these very interesting memories. And the memories come from the people whose heart they received. It's very interesting.
So before we continue, I'd like to remind you that you're listening to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz on webtalkradio.net. And we'll be back with my guest, Dr. Carla Hannaford, in just a moment.
Improve your golf game today. It's absolutely possible using the DVD Par and Beyond, Secrets to Better Golf, from stress management coach Dr. Jerry Teplitz. Par and Beyond is a revolutionary new concept that yields immediate results. You'll experience the difference the very next time you play. Even the golf pros love this method. Randy Taylor hadn't placed in a tournament for 8 years, but just 1 week after taking this seminar, he came in second. It's not just in your swing, it's in your head. That's why TNI Golf Magazine calls Dr. Teplitz a headmaster. Par and Beyond, Secrets to Better Golf, is available on DVD. You can get it by clicking on the Par and Beyond cover on the webtalkradio.net screen in front of you. You'll learn new, powerful techniques that will instantly improve your game, whether you're a pro or a duffer. This is your new secret to success on the course. It's a totally different approach, and it comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. And don't tell your golf buddies. You're about to become a winner.
So my guest today is Dr. Carla Hannaford. She has a PhD in biology, neurophysiologist. She's an author, educator. She's been a professor of biology for over 20 years. She's been recognized in Who's Who in American Education. She's received a number of awards. University of Hawaii and the American Association for the Advancements of Science have recognized her for her outstanding teaching. She consults in over 38 countries. As an international consultant to school systems such as South Africa, Scotland, Russia. She's been quoted in over 1,000 books and journals on the importance of movement, music, art, and coherence for brain development and function. And two of her books are Smart Moves, Why Learning is Not All in Your Head, and Playing in the Unified Field, Raising and Becoming Conscious Creative Human Beings. You can find her books at greatriverbooks.com. That's greatriverbooks.com. So, Carla, can you talk more about the notion of play and how important it is for brain development?
I sure can. And I'm talking about the kind of play that is interactive, that is in the moment, that is very physical. What we're finding, it doesn't apply to what I think a lot of people think of as play when they get on their computers or their iPhones or their iPads or whatever. This is real play, where you're either playing with someone or you are imagining things on your own, daydreaming, playing. It's interesting to me, my favorite quote right now from Einstein is, he said, "I have no special gifts. I'm just passionately curious." It's the play that initiates curiosity and imagination. And it uses the whole body. It's interesting to me that Dr. Pinskap, Jacques, J-A-A-K, Pinskap, studying the brain, discovered that there are areas of the brain that have nothing to do with anything else except for rough and tumble play. You know, that touch. Every time we touch someone, every time we're touched, we produce brain-derived nerve growth factor, which helps really stabilize those new nerve cells that we're growing every day and helps us grow other new nerve cells. And we're also producing a very strong chemical, dopamine, which is that it's the chemical that, of course, allows us to move with grace and ease. You know, people with Parkinson's disease have low levels of that. But also, it really stimulates the brain, the curiosity part of the brain, to be curious about the world.
So with rough and tumble play, what you're saying is when you've got kids and they're just really going at it real hard and rolling all over the floor and the bed and whatnot, that just let them go.
Yeah.
So long as they're safe, but let them go at it.
You bet. You bet. And it's not just children, but it's adults too. We need to get down and play with our children. It's interesting to me, the Play Project out of the University of Michigan, working with brittle autistic children. They discovered that if they can get the parents to play with the children, do what they call floor time, where they get down on the floor, they're absolutely present with the child. They take the lead of the child, what the child wants to play, and work with that. Those parents that played with the children 15 hours a week, by the end of the year, 60%, 69% of those children showed no signs of autism. The work is that of Stanley Greenspan. And this play is so important. It's interesting to me, I met a young woman, Brandy Binder, who had the right hemisphere of her brain removed when she was 5 years old. And she had a lot of seizures, and it was mainly from the meningitis thing. So half of her cerebral cortex is gone. The parents, the doctors told them that she would be paralyzed all of her life on the left side of her body, and that, of course, she'd never be normal because she only had half a brain. Well, those parents got her to occupational and physical therapists who started working with her, moving her, getting her vestibular system going. When she was home, her siblings would roll her around on the floor and tickle her and play with her and everything. Her mom built a box for her where she could stand up and feel the sense of gravity on her feet. And I met her when she graduated from high school. With good grades, she had won two major art contests with no right brain. And there were signs in her classrooms that said, if Brandy can do it with half a brain, you can do it with a whole brain.
Yeah, it's called, what's your excuse?
She could walk. You know, she loved to climb. She loved to hike. She loved to ride horses. She could dance. She could sing. It was not obvious at all that anything was wrong with this young woman. And we've seen this with other cases. So
now, Carla, let me ask you a question. With all the stress that's going on, in our economy and society and people having lost jobs and homes. What's this stress doing to people's abilities to learn to and their memories?
Well, when we get under stress, we start producing two very potent hormones, adrenaline and cortisol. And this actually decreases memory. It actually decreases our ability to learn. What we are is in a reactive state. We're in a fight or flight state. And in that, all we have to do is react to survive. It's survival. And we haven't evolved to a point where we know that being late for an appointment is, you know, no big deal. And so we set up this survival response, and it immediately decreases our ability to learn. In fact, when we go into that survival state, our non-dominant brain will shut down by 75 to 85%. And so we can't think. We can't come up with creative ideas or solutions. We can't be effective. One of the wonderful things about the brain gym movements, of course, is that every single one of them integrates brain function again so that we can stop that survival reaction wherever we are instantly by just doing simple cross-lateral integrated movements.
Yeah, there's actually in my Switched On Selling seminar and in the other brain gym classes, there's a process that takes about 2 minutes that I view as taking the charge off of those negative situations that happen to us.
Right.
And that's, to me, it's fabulous being able to demonstrate that in a live class or on video so people can actually learn it themselves.
Right.
It's very, very profound. So how has Brain Gym, though, come in for lifelong learning? Let's look at the, since more and more boomers are coming into existence just because of aging, mm-hmm. how is Brain Gym going to be of assistance to them?
Greatly of assistance. We have some wonderful programs going on for the elderly. And what happens is when you do the brain gym movements, you have more stability in your body. You're not going to fall. You're not going to break bones. You're going to have balance. You're also going to be a lot more alert. It's just amazing. Here's a real interesting study. Those people that are between the ages of 70 and 95 years of age that dance once or twice a week, which is an integrated cross-lateral movement, decrease their chance of Alzheimer's and dementia by 79%. And I'm sure the brain gym movements do exactly the same thing. They're fun. You know, it has to be fun. It has to be enjoyable. But also, they are cross-lateral integrated movements, just like dancing or playing a musical instrument decreases Alzheimer's and dementia by 69%. And again, I'm sure the brain gym movements are doing the same thing because they activate this whole system. So these programs that are going into assisted living homes and stuff are seeing such a difference in their clientele where, you know, they're interested in life and they're thinking and they're coming up with creative ideas and they're being creative.
So instead of watching Dancing with the Stars, get off your buns and do Dancing with your own star.
You got it. Exactly. Yeah.
So who else is using Brain Gym out there, like in school systems? In the business arena, which is where I work, I've had companies who have had tremendous changes, even in the middle of the recession. But you work more in the school systems, and what are you seeing there in terms of who's using it and kind of results you're tracking?
Of course, any of the schools that are using the Brain Gym on a regular basis, the kids are doing much, much better. And having the children do it, having the children lead it, they love it. They really love it. They need to be doing a Brain Gym, you know, at least once every 20 minutes, you know, in a classroom situation to refocus, to bring attention back. I'm also seeing it in athletics. We know that it's being used with the Olympic athletes are using the Brain Gym movements. We're seeing it, race car drivers are using it, and it's a very hard sport. They have to be very focused. We see it just starting to show up everywhere. When I talked at the conference for elementary school principals, I must have had 5,000 school principals at least in my session, and I asked them, how many of you know about Brain Gym? And I would guess 2/3 of them raised their hand. So, you know, the word is getting out that it's very important. And like I say, in all, it's used for everybody. I've used it a lot in South Africa with artists. We've used it in New York City, right in the middle of Manhattan, with opera singers and dancers and musicians. My husband is a musician, a very fine musician, and he uses the Brain Gym all the time, you know, to stay centered and focused so that he can be very creative. He's a jazz musician and he has to improv. And in order to do that, he's got to be absolutely in the moment, absolutely present.
So for listeners who would like to learn more about Brain Gym, you can go to their website, braingym.org. And if you want to look at getting one of Carla's books, Smart Moves, Why Learning is Not All in Your Head, or Playing in the Unified Field, Raising Becoming Conscious Creative Human Beings, just go to greatriverbooks.com. That's greatriverbooks.com. Carla, thank you for being a guest today on Healthy Alternatives.
Thank you, Jerry.
Next week, my guest is going to be Dr. Ernest Curtis. Dr. Curtis receives his BA in Biological Science from the University of California at Berkeley and his MD from the University of California, Irvine. After a residency in internal medicine and a fellowship in cardiology, he entered private practice in Long Beach, California, where he practiced for 32 years. He's recently written the book, The Cholesterol Delusion, which is looking at cholesterol and the myths around that and what we have to realize about that, that it may not be at all the danger that we've been led to believe. And this book has been chosen as a 2011 Indie Excellence Award finalist. You're not going to want to miss this one. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz. You can find out more about me at teplitz.com, or you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you, or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.